Well, you might recall a November Bloomberg Businessweek cover story. Tim, remember this? It was about the company 23andMe and how it's looking to use all the genetic information it collects to enable it to make and sell its own therapy. So, the world of genetic testing and using it as a diagnostic tool continues to grow and to really create new therapies.
Yeah, a far cry, at least for that company, from the original premise, right?
Oh,
Of helping
totally.
you identify where you're from.
Well, this next guest has spent more than two decades in healthcare. She's president and CEO of the genetic testing and genomic company. She's Catherine Stueland, and as I said, CEO of GeneDx, and she's on the phone in Bethesda, Maryland. Catherine, so nice to have you here with Tim and myself. Tell us a little bit about your company and what's going on when it comes to genomics and genetic testing being used to really develop therapies and improve the way we address healthcare.
Certainly, and I'm excited to share with you what I think is really a new era in terms of delivering on the promise of the Human Genome Project, as well as something that we've been talking about quite a bit, which is precision medicine. GeneDx was spun out of the NIH 20 years ago and really was known as the company that was who doctors relied on for the hardest to diagnose patients. But over time, our scientists have been quietly pioneering the next generation of genetic testing that looks deeply at the totality of the human genome to be able to provide a faster diagnosis for patients. And in turn, be able, based on the result of our genetic test, be able to tell you what therapeutics might be able to help you get on a healthier path sooner.
Well, help me understand where patients use this and at what point in their lives they use it. Because up till now, and I don't want to give away too much of my medical history. I'm talking on, national radio here. But my only encounter with genetic testing personally has been when my wife got pregnant with our son. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of people first interact with it, when, the person who's pregnant and then the partner get tested. But that was it for me.
That's true for so many people. Right now, genetic testing is being used in that setting, frequently when a woman is thinking about having a baby or she's pregnant, and she'll do a test. She and her partner will do a test called carrier screening. But then what we're able to do on the other side, once there is hopefully a healthy baby, is be able to ensure that when there is a symptom that child may be displaying, if, God forbid, the baby's in the neonatal intensive care unit or as a toddler, we're able to provide, based on that baby's genome, rapid information that helps get to a diagnosis, a definitive diagnosis sooner, which is critically important when you're thinking about neurological conditions that could be impacting that child, and then getting them on that treatment. The other time that people are utilizing genetic information often is when they have a cancer diagnosis. So right now it really is being used in the symptomatic setting. But genetic information can actually be used in a preventive way to be able to get ahead of developing symptoms and being able to keep people healthy versus diagnose a disease that's already in progress.
So I think about things, Catherine, that are just like diabetes, right? Which is really, we talk about pandemics, right? It's really becoming a global pandemic in terms of the amount of people who have diabetes. How can we use genetic testing? How are we maybe already in terms of anticipating it or somehow getting better control of it? Because it really just seems like it's out of control.
So genetic testing right now is really best utilized in settings such as cardiovascular disease, in oncology, in the pediatric setting for neurological disorders or autism, as well as you mentioned earlier, in the prenatal setting when we're trying to assess risk when it comes to a pregnancy. For more common conditions that are metabolic in nature, like diabetes, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done from a technology standpoint to really help us better understand the specific role of genetics that might predispose somebody to being somebody who will have a more severe condition. So there's a lot of work going into that. You'll hear in the future more about something called polygenic risk scores, which is for the broader, more common conditions like diabetes. And I think that that's going to be on the horizon over the next 5 to 10 years. We're still in the earlier stages for those sorts of conditions.
Sit tight for a second. We've got to do a little bit of news, Catherine, but we'll come back and continue. Really interesting and curious about the medical community, the health insurance company, how they are increasingly embracing this area when it comes to its helpfulness in terms of figuring out healthcare or possible needs. What were you thinking?
Hey, Tim? One interesting thing is talking to friends about, you know, I'm at that age where a lot of our friends are getting pregnant or having the second kid. We talked to some friends who had a second kid. They repeated the genetic testing again, even though they had done it ahead of time before their first baby. And they did that because the company had actually identified more genes in the 2 or 3 years since they had had their previous baby.
So it's an acknowledgement of all the information that continues to come out. All right, we'll continue with Catherine Stulen. She is the CEO of GeneDx, and we'll get to her once again in just a moment.
Let's get right back to Catherine Stulen, the CEO of GeneDx. It's a medical genetics company. It's got the largest clinical exome data set in the world. Catherine, I want to talk more about the business here, because I think when it comes to products such as yours, the customer isn't necessarily the end patient. The customer is the provider who is prescribing it, or who is actually telling the patient that they should get it. How does that sales process work, and how do you get your product more in the hands of more providers?
So it's a really important partnership that we have with a provider, a patient, as well as with a payer. And we very much believe that it is the most responsible approach to be working in that partnership, because we're delivering information that is actionable, meaning we're providing a genetic report that is saying whether or not somebody may have a health condition that they may need to, you know, go undergo some sort of therapy for, or change another aspect of their life. So it's really important that we are working in partnership there. The way that we work today is we sell our testing directly to clinicians. Mainly this has been to medical geneticists, who are kind of the experts' experts when it comes to genetics. But we're seeing a broader group of clinicians, as we mentioned earlier. OBs are using it in terms of assessing risk for pregnancy. Oncologists are using it to assess risk overall, as well as what treatment might be best for a patient. So we're starting to see a shift from the expert setting of medical geneticists into broader mainstream medicine. And so we educate providers about our services, and we work with them to ensure that they have all the tools that they need to inform their patient as clearly as possible.
You know, let me ask you something. Do you think all babies should get genome sequencing? And mind you, this is your business, so I understand where you're coming from, but do you think it's a smart strategy?
So I think that there's a lot of nuance involved in the question, because ultimately what we want to be able to do is have information on hand to be able to provide a rapid diagnosis as soon as somebody is showing up with the symptoms. And I can tell you, if you look in the case of pediatric conditions, right now, as it's utilized today, genetic testing can be used too late, meaning that there's damage being done to that child. And they may not be eligible if they get a diagnosis too late for certain therapies. So one of the keys to using genetic testing is having it on hand to be able to use it as rapidly as possible to rule in or rule out whether or not there is an underlying genetic condition. So I think it's important that we all have access to that information. There have been some cases where there have been studies where they've done sequencing at birth and just provided the parents with an entire litany of information that the parent doesn't need in that moment at all. And that's not the way that we see this happening in the future. What we see happening, almost similar to cord blood, but being medically actionable here, is being able to sequence a baby at birth and just hold that information on behalf of the parents and the clinicians and that individual. And when there is information that they need, we're able to come in and provide a definitive diagnosis or tell them there's not a genetic issue here, and then they can quickly move on.
Hey, Catherine, more on the business. You recently announced that Sema4 was buying you guys. Sema4 is an AI-driven genomic and clinical data intelligence platform company. You are going to serve as co-CEO after the acquisition is complete. Why does this make sense? What are the, you know, for the lack of a better term, synergies here?
So Sema4 and GeneDx are completely complementary. Each of us is doing something distinctly different, but we have technologies that are going to accelerate the use of one another's technology. So in the case of Sema4, they do carrier screening. They have built a patient experience where they're able to connect with a mom-to-be and ensure that she has an understanding of what happens when she's doing her carrier screen. Once the child is born, that's where GeneDx's technology comes to bear. And we're able, again, in the event that there is some sort of symptom that the child is showing, to be able to then provide a diagnosis. So we're able to essentially pick up where Sema4 leaves off from the pregnant mom-to-be to now a mom who has a child who needs an answer for her baby. The other thing that we've done with our exome and our genome, that is ultimately going to be the backbone for all of the testing that Sema4 does. So we're able to get a more comprehensive set of data that feeds their data engine called Centrellis that also takes a look at EMR data, clinical right. notes, and is able to then ingest it and ensure that every patient that we're testing gets the most accurate information possible.
Hey, Catherine, one last question, and I kind of want to end with where we started. We talked about a Bloomberg Businessweek story that talked about the company 23andMe, how they are working on drug developments in-house. They're using the genetic material that they're capturing from all of us, and I think 1 in 5 Americans have done one of these, whether it's Ancestry or 23andMe kind of tests. Do you think this is a good idea? And just got about a minute or so, about 45, 50 seconds.
Certainly, and I'm one of those people who has done 23andMe. and in fact, 23andMe kind of scratches the surface of the genome. What we do at GeneDx is deep genomic sequencing, and it's the totality and richness of the genetic information that we provide that in working with pharma companies is going to actually be the key to being able to more rapidly discover new treatments, more rapidly bring new treatments to market, and make sure that we really bring the promise of precision medicine to life.
Well, it's certainly an interesting field. Catherine, thanks so much for carving out so much time for us. Catherine Stootland, she is the CEO of GeneDx, joining us on the phone from Maryland.